State Representative Lenny Mira is with us from up north in northern part of Essex County. With his district includes Newbury, West Newbury, Merrimack, Groveland, Georgetown, Boxford, and so on. But Representative, thanks for joining us, and thanks for checking in with us. We appreciate you taking some time.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me on, Bill.
Well, the question, I guess, is what's happening right now at the State House this week in regards to the response to the coronavirus?
Yeah, working on a number of bills. The calls that we get the most of right now are on unemployment claims. And as you can imagine, there was a surge of claims as tens of thousands of people were laid off at the same time. And so we are finally able to manage the workers that would typically receive benefits. But now we've expanded unemployment benefits to people who typically would not qualify. It's through PUA. Pandemic unemployment assistance, and that's going to cover people that normally would not be covered. People like self-employed individuals, gig workers, freelancers, independent contractors. So the website is now open, mass.gov, and you can apply for those benefits. Keep in mind, this is brand new. We've never done this before, never covered people like that because they weren't paying into the system, but now we are going to cover them. But it required an entirely new computer platform to do that. So you can get information on that and a whole bunch of other COVID-19 information at our website, mass.gov.
Representative, I guess it's no surprise that they had issues with just staffing because of the incredible increase in volume when this all broke a couple of weeks ago. So, but I understand those kinds of issues are pretty much resolved as well because they've staffed it up as required.
Yeah, for the most part, but still there is a huge surge of applicants applying for these benefits. Also keep in mind there are other benefits being applied for at the same time at the federal level. We just got word late last night that the Senate approved another round of small business financing, the PPP, Paycheck Protection Program. Just so people, because we got a lot of calls on this as well. A lot of small businesses try to apply for these benefits, especially the forgivable loans. If you get a loan from the SBA, Small Business Administration, it's forgivable if it's used for payroll expenses and certain overhead expenses as well. That money ran out really quickly, and a lot of it depended on your relationship with your bank and their relationship with SBA. And so the Senate did approve, the U.S. Senate approved some more funding last night. We have some visual aids. I don't know if you can see this or not. But it's another round of funding, and it's going to be over $300 billion in total loans, $60 billion for small lenders. And here's something else we've been asking for, Bill. It's going to include about $75 billion for hospitals because they're getting inundated as well. Keep in mind, hospitals usually make money on elective surgeries and things of that nature, and that is not being done at this time. They're being inundated with people with pandemic illnesses. And that, of course, is quite often done at a loss. So our hospitals are struggling. They had to hire more health workers. And so there was some funding in that bill last night to help alleviate that. Finally, I also see a number here, $50 billion for testing, because that's something else that we didn't have enough of, Bill. The states notified the feds that we desperately need more funding. And so this $50 billion is going to go toward the creation and administering of tests so that we can get a better handle on this pandemic. That would be very helpful, not only to get people safely in the hospitals when they need it, but also it's going to be helpful when we eventually try to open up the economy again, which we're hoping will happen soon.
I want to follow up with you on that hospital piece because, and again, it's a bill that just passed, so I don't expect you to be on top of every issue here regarding that piece, but the money going to hospitals, as you point out, that the elective surgery was postponed, so they're not doing that. So even though they're getting crushed in certain areas of the hospital, other areas may not be so busy, and they're losing that revenue that was a steady stream of revenue that the business plan was built on for the hospitals. So what does this money cover, do you know? Where does it go that it does go or is targeted for the hospitals?
Yeah, this money is from the feds, and so it's to cover their costs on treating patients that are ill due to the pandemic. I think they're trying to make it so that anyone who does become ill, you know, has their costs covered one way or the other, whether they're on commercial insurance or whatever. We want to make sure people are able to get tested and no one refrains from getting tested because of cost considerations. We want to make sure they get treated, make sure they can get tested because that benefits us all. But that's at the federal level. At the local level, we were working on some bills that would help protect healthcare workers from any kind of liability, things of that nature. And these are things that Beacon Hill's working on. Beacon Hill's not meeting right now. We're not going to the state house. We just have a tiny number of people there that are working on these bills. We try to give them some sort of good committee hearing and then try to get them voted on in as safely a manner as possible. But these are all going on in the background, and you know, we are working together. It's kind of ironic, I guess, that it took something as horrible as a pandemic to get people in the state and federal governments to finally work together in a bipartisan fashion to work towards a common goal, because it's all hands on deck right now. You know, we're all on the same team. We have a common enemy here in this virus, and we really do need to pull together on this, and we are starting to do that, happy to say.
Do you have any particular news going back up to your district, any particular news or news notes from your district to share with our listeners? I imagine all the towns are kind of dealing with the same issues in a similar way and so on, but anything unique standing out within your district?
Oh, yeah, bunch of little things. We started by just contacting first responders and other workers with regards to safety equipment. My concern was masks and gloves for people in our fire department or our police department. If they have to respond to a call, they don't know who's infected. We don't know who's not infected. So we wanted to make sure they were equipped, and so far they are. We're doing pretty well on that at this time. The other thing that's going on right now, I'm getting a lot of calls from our town halls regarding real estate taxes. So some cities and towns are electing to push back the deadline date for the payment of real estate tax because a lot of people are simply unable to make those payments at this time. Unfortunately, by doing that, the banks that collect escrow payments for real estate taxes, they want to be able to delay their payments. Well, that's going to be a huge hit on our cities and towns. Their budgets are constrained to begin with, and this pandemic has really hit revenues particularly hard. And so, you know, we got to find a way to make sure that the banks who already have this money, by the way, are making the payments. And we want to, at the same time, provide some relief for individual homeowners who perhaps are unable to make a payment at this time.
What about with the small businesses in your district as well? What are you hearing from them? You might have kind of touched on some of this information earlier when we were talking about the SBA loans. But what are you hearing from small business people?
Yeah, depending on the type of business, you know, it's a different situation for just about everyone. But the one I hear the most of, I guess, is from restaurants. They're getting particularly hit hard. You know, they can do takeout, they can do deliveries, but it's not the same. They just don't make, you know, that much money, you know, selling a sandwich. It's, you know, they need to be able to open their bars and restaurants. We did allow them to now start selling alcohol if it's sold in a sealed container, its original container. But even then, it's not the same. And so what they're telling me, Bill, is that, you know, they can go a few weeks like this, but if they go a few months, a lot of them aren't going to make it. They're just not going to be able to stay in business because they still have these overhead costs with loans, utilities, insurance, et cetera. So I'm very concerned about businesses like that. I also got friends that own a bus line. You know, they do charter buses and movie theaters, and they're shut down completely. They have zero money coming in, but at the same time, they still have a lot of their expenses. And school bus companies are in that, you know, boat as well, because those school buses are parked and school districts are wrestling with the question of whether or not to continue to pay school bus companies when they're not delivering students. It's a difficult question. If you don't pay them, they have to let their drivers go. If they let their drivers go, they're going to have a hard time hiring new ones because it was difficult to get CDL drivers in the first place. So these are all moving pieces that we're dealing with at this time, and we're going to have to wrestle with them somehow, some way.
Yeah, wow, you're right, and there's what's when you get into this, Lenny, as you're finding out, and I've known for a while, there's all these layers that have to that have to be dealt with, and it, as long as it goes on, basically the worse and worse it gets.
Oh, absolutely, with no question. You know, we had a Zoom meeting last night with the city of Haverhill and the mayor and the city council, and we went through all of these things. You know, do we pay the bus company? Do we keep on essential workers? Well, who are those essential workers? And as the mayor, Jim Fiorentini, said, there's a lot of people in City Hall that do crucial work that we rely on every day. We can't just board up City Hall and stop paying because people rely on these services every single day. You know, they have to collect, excise taxes. They have to collect real estate taxes. Bills have to get paid. You know, we have pension payments that cities and towns have to make every month or every quarter. Those have to be made or there will be dire consequences. And we're starting to run out of funds. And so now you're starting to see governors plead with the feds on getting help just to keep state and municipal government afloat, because there are payments that we simply have to be made. We cannot, avoid those. We can't allow these things to go unpaid. And so we got some difficult choices to make. The feds are moving. You know, sometimes things happen slowly. This is government. But there are certain things that we're trying to make clear are absolutely crucial. And the good news is the lines of communication are open, and we are working together towards that. So we just got to come up with a definition of what is essential, what is crucial at this time, and then come up with a plan to take care of it. But we are doing it.
Let me ask you one last question, Lenny, and that would be this. I mean, you mentioned the ability of towns and cities to pay their bills right now, but this would now be the budget planning process for both the state and the localities, the cities and towns, and that really can't happen right now too well because of all the uncertainty and all the crush that's going to be happening economically. And so there's the state, there's the federal, state, and local cities and towns, this whole ripple effect and interconnectivity. And at the State House, you'd be right now right in the heat of budget planning for the upcoming fiscal year.
Yeah, that's exactly right. A couple of months ago, we were meeting with Ways and Means to talk about necessities in our district. You know, we were looking for earmarks for things like, you know, handicap ramps or protecting our water supplies and weed control in our lakes and ponds. And that's all going to go by the wayside. We basically took that preliminary budget, tore it into a million pieces. We have to start all over, Bill. And so I think what we're going to do now at both the state and municipal level is we're going to start using, mini budgets, like perhaps a 1/12 budget, so that it is done in stages, in chunks, because we can't foresee what the total shortfall will be. The estimates are anywhere from $4 to $6 billion in lost revenue for the coming budget. But we still don't know what that number is. So we will just do this perhaps on a 1/12 budget basis or do it in chunks. Cities and towns, I think, are going to do the same thing. But it is, you know, time for some very difficult decisions to be made. And, we'll be making them sometime soon.
Well, Lenny, thanks for your time. Stay with us just for a second here, but thanks so much for joining us, and we appreciate all your information and insight on this issue.
Happy to do it. Thank you for having me on, Bill. Yeah.
Lenny Mira, the state representative from Essex County, but up in the Newbury, West Newbury area and so on, but we'll have those listed up on the post on our website.